We're dipping in on some epidemiology 101, if you will, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There is a bounty of public health data flowing from federal and state sources on the COVID-19 pandemic, but a lack of federal standards has led to confusion over how to interpret the data sets and how to make apples-to-apples comparisons. What data can you trust? How closely do you monitor the day-to-day changes? Do you follow Wisconsin's Department of Health Services data or Johns Hopkins Resource Center? What about your college or university's data dashboard? What confuses you about the metrics you see? We're at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor of WisconText. That's a collaborative reporting project of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Will, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So it is. There is this dizzying amount of data released every day, and it's really difficult to understand what metrics to pay attention to. Can you explain how government data is corralled and then published each day?
Sure. Yeah, there really is a lot of data, and you're right. It's hard to keep track of, and it's hard to know what exactly to focus on. But in Wisconsin, the data that most of us are looking at, either on the Department of Health Services website or on local health department websites, is mostly being funneled through the Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System, which is an online database that's been around, I believe, since the 90s. And that's where healthcare providers who provide testing for COVID-19, as well as labs who actually do the testing on behalf of healthcare providers and the community testing sites, et cetera, that's where they upload information about both negative and positive test results. And then that gets funneled out through the system to the State Department of Health Services and then local health departments where the test results are.
There's been criticism that this is old, clunky technology, and that is one of the issues here. Has that presented some limitations?
Yeah, I talked to a few local health officers who said that it's the electronic disease surveillance system has been a bit of a challenge to work with in terms of the coronavirus and COVID-19, mostly just because of the huge volume in testing that's occurring right now. It's a system that was built to help with surveillance of kind of local foodborne illness outbreaks or rarer diseases, diseases like HIV/AIDS. And tuberculosis. It wasn't really necessarily built to handle thousands and thousands of test results coming in every day, especially the thousands that are coming into specific jurisdictions in some places like Milwaukee and Dane County, and actually like a growing number of jurisdictions now. And yeah, I spoke to the former health commissioner now of the city of Milwaukee, Jeanette Kowalik, and she described the system as archaic and really quite frustrating sometimes. And I also spoke to Kirsten Johnson. She's a health officer for Washington Ozaukee Public Health Department. It's a combined public health department for Washington County and Ozaukee County. And she said that her department has also struggled with the system, particularly with tallying negative test results. So it seems like everyone really wants that tallying to be quicker, to be more automated, but right now, the folks at local health departments have to, they call it closing out. They have to manually close out each negative test result before they can report it. And that's a time-consuming process, especially when there are sometimes thousands of test results to comb through every single day.
Oh, goodness. That would be very labor-intensive to go through each and every one.
Totally. Yep. And they can't report those negative results until they do all of that. And that has actually led to backlogs in reporting negative test results in some jurisdictions, including Dane County back in July. People may remember seeing that in the news, that there is a backlog of negative test results in Dane County that were not only affecting the reporting of negative test results, but then also affecting the county's test positivity results. And we know that test positivity is another one of those calculated metrics that people are following closely to kind of assess the virus's spread and the safety of of all manner of activities, including reopening schools.
Yeah, everything's so interconnected. We're talking with Will Cushman of WisconText, and we're discussing how to interpret metrics on COVID-19, make sense of the daily numbers. Taking your questions as well, where do you get your information about the coronavirus? What dashboards are you watching? And what information do you trust? What's most helpful to you? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Will, public health departments are releasing daily data, and so this is like near real time. Is that unusual?
It is, yeah. It's really, in the words of Dr. Ryan Westergaard, the state epidemiologist for communicable diseases, unprecedented in public health. He said at really any level to be releasing this type of data, so case reports and negative test results, on, as you said, a near real-time basis, on a daily basis. Typically, this type of reporting happens more at like a monthly or an annual basis for most diseases. During the flu season, we'll get influenza reports on a weekly basis. Mm. But yeah, this daily test reporting and case reporting is really quite unprecedented, at least in U.S. public health. And that might be part of why we sometimes see discrepancies between agencies who are, as I think you and I have talked about previously, releasing data at different times of day, getting their data at different times of day. It can be messy for the casual observer to try to wade through.
Do we need daily data updates?
That's a really, really good question, especially when public health officials are reminding people that really the best way to kind of get a grasp on the pandemic is looking at those longer term trends. So 7-day averages of new cases or trends like that. But those trends are built on daily data. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard to withhold that daily data, especially now at this point that public health departments, including all over Wisconsin, have made it a practice to report that data on a daily basis. I think it would be really difficult to backpedal from that practice at this point.
Well, let's look at some of the ways that we can get confused about the data. There's confusion around the number of tests versus the number of people tested. Can you help us understand that?
Yeah, for sure. So that's been a point of confusion lately in Wisconsin. So the Department of Health Services actually just updated a bunch of its data visualizations on its dashboard, for lack of a better word, on its website to help clarify the difference in especially total test results every day and then people who are tested. There is some confusion about test positivity rates, some rates being calculated based on only results attached to individuals versus test results, whether or not there are repeated test results for an individual. And this has become a little bit more of a confusing matter since about mid-June. That's when the number of people in Wisconsin, at least, receiving repeat tests really started to go up quite a bit.
Yeah. We are discussing how to make sense of the COVID-19 metrics with Will Cushman, Associate Editor of WisconText. So what data tracker do you follow? Is the data presented clearly to you, or do you find the metrics reliable? What confuses you about the data dashboards that are popping up all over? Join in with your questions on the COVID-19 pandemic data, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Will Cushman here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Since the start of the pandemic, public health officials have acknowledged COVID-19 data is not perfect, but it's critical to identifying trends in the pandemic. There may be corrections in state data that also cause confusion. Evaluating many metrics together can help us get a clear picture of what's going on, but it's all really tricky and interconnected. So where do you get your information about COVID-19? Join in at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor of WisconText, and he stays with us. Will, one of the metrics that has also been really tricky to understand is the number of recovered people, the recovered individuals metric. How should we interpret that metric?
That's a really good question. And in fact, yeah, actually, public health officials here in Wisconsin say that they kind of wish that they had thought a little bit more about how to actually label that metric, recovered cases, because how they label it, or how they define a recovered case is really only based on whether or not a patient is deemed to be no longer infectious, not necessarily that all of their symptoms have resolved. And as we know now, going on 9-10 months into this pandemic, there are a number of COVID-19 patients called, they're known as COVID-19 long haulers.
Long haulers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who are experiencing symptoms for months after their initial infection, and definitely do not consider themselves recovered. And sometimes their doctors don't consider them recovered either. But in the public health data, if you were just to read the number of recovered versus active cases, you might have maybe a skewed understanding of how many people are truly recovered. That data reported by the state of Wisconsin is only about the number of people who are considered to no longer be infectious.
There's also data published on our state's testing capacity, test availability. What can we glean from that type of data?
That's a really good question. The testing capacity data, I think what's helpful there is especially now that the Department of Health Services dashboard has clarified and made it really clear with charts on their websites how many tests are happening each day. That test capacity data is important in relation to the number of tests that are being conducted every day, just to know how close we are across the state in hitting that threshold, that capacity.
So it's like showing us we have a ceiling and whether we're getting close to that ceiling or not.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a testing ceiling in the state that is constrained by all sorts of things, mostly by the testing materials, which are still in kind of short supply. And public health officials don't really want to go above 80% of that capacity in any one day. But they have exceeded that 80% sometimes. But yeah, that's a good metric to follow.
We're talking with Will Cushman, who's a journalist reporting on the pandemic for WisconText, and his new piece is called Wisconsin's Urgent, Imperfect, Transparent, Confusing, Essential COVID-19 data. What questions do you have about the data? Join in 800-642-1234. Well, just all of those descriptors in the title of your article, it made me kind of laugh and cry at the same time, because what is a person to do to really make sense of it all? I want to move one state over to Iowa, where a software glitch caused the government to publish wrong information about the number of cases. What happened there?
Yeah, that was a pretty, disconcerting situation for a little bit. So this was in the run-up to school restarting in Iowa in August, and restarting in-person instruction has been a top priority of the state government in Iowa. And right before schools were set to reopen, a couple weeks before, this glitch was discovered in the state's data that accidentally assigned some new positive cases to old dates. So it made it appear like new case numbers appear lower than they actually were. And it also made the test positivity calculations lower than they were in reality. And test positivity was one of the key metrics that Iowa was using to assess the safety of reopening schools. And what happened there was, as we're seeing here in Wisconsin, more and more people getting tested repeatedly. What was happening is some people who had previously tested negative, but then tested positive subsequently, those positive test results were recorded for the date of their original negative test. So sometimes being backdated all the way back to almost the beginning of the pandemic and testing. And so it really kind of messed up numbers there for a little bit. But that's, yeah, and it was a wild situation.
It kind of reminds you that this data gathering is so sensitive. Let's bring in Tim now from Eau Claire. Hi, Tim, what's your question?
I've never really understood the purpose of the test positivity rate. I mean, if you're looking at 1,000 people got tested, 100 people came up with it, does it? I mean, yes, they're two. It's comparing apples and oranges. We have 1,000 people who got tested. That's great, but we have 100 people who tested positive for it. I guess I don't really see the purpose of pointing out how many people thought they had it but didn't have it. It kind of seems like everybody latches onto that one when there are other statistics that might be much better indicators of how we're actually doing.
And Tim, very briefly, what would be the other indicators that you would look to?
Maybe the increase of positive tests over the previous 7 days or the previous month, or you know how many active cases that we currently have, the percentage of community spread in an area, any number of things. But it's kind of like, does it really matter how many people got tested as long as everybody who wanted a test could get a test?
Tim, thank you so much. Will, what can you say about that test positivity rate and what Tim's describing there?
I think Tim is making a good point. And I think public health officials would say the same thing, that test positivity rate is not something that it's not the only thing you should be tracking for sure. And that there are definitely other metrics that you should be, if you're interested in tracking the pandemic, you should also be tracking. And Tim's correct. That would be new cases, 7 day averages of new cases. Now in Wisconsin, we're following closely new hospitalizations. As we know, some hospitals are nearing capacity for treating COVID-19 patients. But the test positivity metric, I think it's been a subject of focus partly because it can be so confusing and it's calculated in different ways. And so there are discrepancies in that metric sometimes. And so that can lead to quite a bit of attention, I guess.
Yeah.
But it can still be useful in if there's like a really high test positivity or if it's getting really high, it can be a sign that testing is not keeping up with the spread of the disease, and that testing ideally should be expanded if possible.
You just mentioned there the hospitalization data is increasingly important, number of people in ICUs, but how do hospitals report their data?
That's a really good question. And the hospitalization data that's reported by the Department of Health Services does not come through that electronic disease surveillance system. That does come from the hospitals and through the Wisconsin Hospital Association. So hospitals report that data directly to the federal authorities. And it's often associated with like Medicare reimbursement reporting, but not always. But it goes directly to federal authorities, and then what the Department of Health Services and what local public health officials departments are reporting comes via that way, not by the disease surveillance system.
Well, let's quickly get in Jeff in Door County. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was interested in your guest's comments about false positives and false negatives. I am on my way right now to get an antibody test after being tested 3 times. The most recent one, the majority of people I work with tested positive, yet I tested negative. I'm my father's primary caregiver, and I cannot afford to give it to my aging father And I'm just curious about, because I've talked to several people where one spouse gets it and the other one doesn't. And it's kind of confusing. And I wonder if your guest can add any input to that.
Any input there on false positives, false negatives?
That's a really good question. I know that the PCR tests, those are the results that are reported by the state. Those tend to be pretty accurate. I guess if you were to have like a low amount of virus in your system, there's always a chance of a false negative. There's some other tests that are less reliable, the antigen testing, and then I believe a lot of antibody testings are also less reliable. But in terms of like one spouse getting the disease and another not, there's growing evidence that only some people, a small portion of people who are infected, are spreading the vast majority of the disease.
Will, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Will Cushman, Associate Editor of WisconText, and you can find his story, more reporting at wisconText.org. Coming up 32 days before the general election, do you know where your ballot is? Are you confused about voting? We have clerks to answer your questions on voting right after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.